This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Tyler Donaldson. Warmer weather is expected across the Midwest this week. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey reports warmer, drier conditions that should help with field work.
Further north, we'll be dealing with some snow showers downwind of the Great Lakes into the Northeast. That could linger into Saturday. But as we move to the west, it looks pretty quiet for the rest of the week, especially across the Great Plains. It will be warmer and dry, so favorable conditions for pre-planting field work as well as winter wheat development there.
Another moisture system is moving in later this week that's expected to hit the Plains area.
Then the second system we'll be watching, that will be coming into the western United States during the mid to late week period. We will be focused on showers, rain and snow showers spreading inland across the west, eventually encompassing pretty much everything from the Pacific coast to the Rockies. Nothing particularly heavy expected with this system, but any additional western precipitation will certainly help with the already mostly favorable water supply situation. And then as we head into the weekend, some of that precipitation will begin to overspread the Great Plains. That is one of the drier areas of the country, and certainly as we get into the spring, we will be needing some moisture for that fast-growing winter wheat and any early planted summer crops.
The Port of Baltimore has opened for some commercial ships on a case-by-case basis as crews continue to remove debris from the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. American Farm Bureau Federation economist Betty Resnick says while the port only handles a small portion of the ag business in the United States, its closure still has a broad impact.
Agricultural specifically, it's a minor port. We only had about 0.3% of total U.S. ag exports in 2023 going out of the Port of Baltimore by quantity, and only about 0.4% in dollar terms. So that's a pretty minor amount. And a lot of that is containerized products, so products that you could foreseeably like, put onto a train and move to a different port. It's more important in terms of agricultural imports. They import quite a bit of sugar through the Port of Baltimore, in addition to about 9% of spices and 6.2% of coffee. So that's kind of your raw agricultural export import numbers.
Equipment is likely the biggest implication to agriculture. Resnick says there may be some impact to UAN fertilizer, but those effects should remain on the East Coast.
North Dakota in 2021 had about $135 million of exports going through the Port of Baltimore. Minnesota was at $169 million, and South Dakota was at $6.8 million. So even though they're pretty far away, it does still impact them. And it's also a really important port in terms of equipment. They had about 1.3 million tons of non-automotive roll-on, roll-off equipment. That could be things like farm equipment, like tractors, in addition to even trains. The port does import about 10% of our nation's UAN fertilizer, so that might have some localized impacts as well.
Global fertilizer prices are beginning to soften slightly. However, StoneX Director of Fertilizer Josh Linville says that's not the case in the U.S. as spring demand picks up.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting dynamic right now, and this does tend to happen during this time of year. So on the one hand, you look at a lot of the international things that are going on, and we're starting to see some signs pointing to bearish. We're starting to see some price ideas falling. So that gets us excited, but we also have to remember that a lot of the calendar year, we really care what happens around the world because that sets what happens here. But when we get into this time of year, the rest of the world doesn't matter nearly as much as our S&D. So that's the problem we're having, is we're seeing these international price ideas fall. Our ideas are actually holding level, if not even pushing higher, because inventories have been just that tight.
Logistics is the big issue.
It absolutely is. Coming into this spring season, there's a lot of trepidation. There's a lot of worry in regards to pricing. Supply chain just didn't want to take the risk. They couldn't bear the thought of losing that much money by putting a lot of product in and then seeing prices fall. So everybody's been a little trepid on stepping forward. That makes inventories to start with very tight. Everybody adopting this just-in-time demand model is okay, except when it meets just-in-time logistics. Those are very timely. Those are very expensive. And so we're seeing that kind of starting to hurt on some of these inland points.
Charcoal rot is becoming an issue in Minnesota due to hot, dry summer weather the last couple of seasons. University of Minnesota Extension plant pathologist Dr. Dean Malvick says the disease could become a bigger issue during the latest U of M Extension Strategic Farming webinar.
If we continue to have periods of drought and heat in the summer, I expect this is a disease we'll see more of. It's very common across the U.S. We know it's in Minnesota, and we don't know how widespread I think it's really causing problems yet. I can tell you that right here on the St. Paul campus, there was a field with soybeans dying in July, and I went out there to look at it, and it was charcoal rot. It was very, very dry there and fairly warm. So it's favored by these very hot soil temperatures and very dry soil. Usually is most commonly seen late in the season after stress on the plants.
Charcoal rot can impact more than just soybeans and is easily identifiable.
Unfortunately, this has a very wide host range, this charcoal rot pathogen, including corn, alfalfa, sunflower, dry edible beans, and other things. So the symptoms, again, it usually begins in the driest parts of the field, premature yellowing of leaves, and these are kind of the diagnostic sign. If you scrape off the lower part of the stem, the root, or cut into it, you can see these black spots now. But they are big enough to see with the naked eye at times. Just use a hand lens, and these things show up very clearly when charcoal rot is there and causing significant damage.
Using a crop rotation with small grains and selecting varieties with partial resistance can help mitigate charcoal rot pressures.
The deadline is now passed for the dairy industry stakeholders to submit legal briefs for the modernization of federal milk marketing orders. USDA has until July 1 to review this information. This lengthy process began with a hearing near Indianapolis that began late August and lasted until late January. This is the first comprehensive review of the milk pricing system in nearly 25 years. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Bringing dairy cattle into Nebraska will now require a permit with high-path avian influenza confirmed in dairy cattle in 5 states. This requires all female breeding cattle coming into the state to obtain a permit from the Nebraska Department of Agriculture. The order will be in place through April.
GDM Seeds Regional Account Manager Adam Spellhaug talks about the importance of sharing information with other members of the ag community and how the give and take between farmers and researchers can benefit everyone in the industry.
I think it kind of just helps maybe direct or guide, you know, that they're researching and looking into the right things or right needs that farmers are wanting. Not saying that's the only thing they should be looking at too, because there's it could be a lot of things we don't know we maybe need even. So it's always good to have those folks looking at different things or different alternatives. And then part of it too, with some of the things they're looking at, is how they can use the end product with the soybeans and the oil and that kind of thing.
With planting season almost here, Spellhaug says water hemp will be one of the big things to keep an eye out for.
Water hemp is definitely a big one for weeds-wise down in our area in southeast North Dakota, and it has been a problem weed for a little while, so it's always trying to manage that, utilize more pre's. I started planting narrow row soybeans to kind of have more canopy to get more coverage that way to kind of keep that second flush coming back. So really kind of focusing on that, and if we do get in early, we're going to have a longer growing season, which also gives the weeds a longer growing season, so trying to make sure that, you know, if there's another month of growing here, that we're managing those weeds right away and starting clean early.
The grain markets continue to search for fresh news. Van Aan and Company market analyst Christy Van Aan says that there has been some positive news.
We saw that bite of fresh news. I think, you know, I tend to be talking about the negatives. To really harp in on the positive side of things is that corn was able to really find itself and find a rally and manage money, really didn't cover those shorts. And so, granted, the Friday release was Tuesday to Tuesday, so that did not cover Wednesday and Thursday's trade. You know, Thursday obviously was that friendly day. But, you know, we still have managed money aggressively short these markets.
Van Aan says that is a good thing for these markets.
If they come in here and lift some positions, that could be very beneficial. We also know that with 90 million acres of corn, you know, each hiccup we have along the ride is going to be more problematic, right? You know, if we are sitting here at 92 or 93 million acres, we would need a disaster to get the market's attention. Now, you know, we're at 90 million and it's a little bit of a different story. So there are some friendly aspects of it.
Top third ag marketing market analyst Ed Dugan says soybeans finding some support lower this morning while corn was giving back gains from last week's USDA reports.
Beans broke some pretty good support in the May beans yesterday around the 1181 area. We're down here at 1171. I don't have any real support until we get down to about 1153. Corn market just bouncing, chopping around here back and forth. We've basically given away all the gains from that Thursday crop report. Maybe it did stimulate a little bit of farmer selling. I had a few guys call me and tell me they sold some grain on that rally up. But, you know, big picture thing, the American farmer is still holding at least 5 billion bushels of corn on farm. And, you know, how many of these are basis contracts that are either going to have to be rolled or covered here or priced here towards the end of April? That's my fear.
The wheat complex is moving higher while soybeans have been trading a couple pennies either side of unchanged. Zahner Ag Hedge Chief Market Strategist Ted Seifried says that the cattle markets continue to see volatility.
These are very nervous markets, very volatile, kind of waiting to see how the situation plays out. And in the meantime, you know, hogs have caught a bit of strength and really kind of following through on that here today, with the idea that, you know, maybe there will be more demand shifting over to the pork side of things. And ultimately, you had a pretty good-looking chart in the hogs. We had a fairly long period of consolidation, pretty much the entirety of March into February. And now in the last 3 days, we've had sort of a turnaround, and we're pushing higher. This is the highest we've been in quite some time for the hogs.
Go to rrfn.com and sign up for our weekly Red River Farm Network e-newsletter. FarmNet news hits your email inbox every Monday. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The USDA Undersecretary for Trade, Alexis Taylor, says South Korea is a growing agricultural market for the U.S.
Exports of U.S. food and agricultural products to Korea were just over $8 billion last year in 2023, really built upon the Korea-U.S. Free Trade Agreement, but also a really strong and strategic bilateral relationship that we have. That $8 billion of U.S. food and ag exports made Korea our fifth largest single country export market.
Taylor says there are a lot of different products going to South Korea.
The top five U.S. agricultural exports related to Korea were beef, pork, seafood, wheat, dried distillers, grain, DDGs, and food preparation. But we also see a lot of diversity going into that market. So we see really strong interest in U.S. fruit and vegetables, nuts, dairy and eggs, coffee, distilled spirits, pet foods, and then consumer packaged goods, condiments, and sauces.
In the latest issue of Crop News, University of Minnesota agronomists are advising ranchers to delay grazing to allow for optimal height of grasses for regrowth. The report suggests delaying grazing until grasses reach 8 to 10 inches and legumes reach 4 to 6 inches. After initial grazing, grass pastures should be rested for up to 2 weeks or until regrowth reaches 8 to 10 inches once again. Farm season grasses like Sudan grass can help with summer forage in the event of drought conditions.
Taking a look at markets before we leave you, Minneapolis May wheat 13 cents higher at 640 and a half. May Chicago wheat 10 and a quarter higher at 555 and a half. Kansas City 16 and three quarter cents higher at 579 and three quarters. May corn 6 and a quarter higher at 432 and three quarters. Soybeans May futures 7 and a quarter higher at 1181 and a quarter. Live cattle, April futures, 27 cents lower at 181.50. June down 32 cents at 176.05. April feeder cattle, $2.20 hundredweight lower at 241.30. And May feeder cattle, $2.15 lower at 242.70. April lean hogs, $1.35 higher at 87.90. May lean hogs $1.02 higher at $94.70. And June lean hogs trading $1.05 a hundredweight higher at $104 even. Thanks for listening. This is the Red River Farm Network.